Blog Talk Radio.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Of travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Fidel. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston.
It's time for the next edition of the Riveting Jumble Justice Radio Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio. Turn up your speakers and listen closely since you may be asked questions later. Keep your phone handy, since we encourage you to call in your comments to the host and guests on today's show. The listener call-in number is 347-996-5983. Once again, the number is 347-996-5983. You will also find the number on the top of the homepage for the Jumble Justice Radio Show. I'm Audrey, your technical and spiritual advisor for the radio broadcast. And now, without further delay, allow me to introduce your eminently qualified and inspiring host for Jumble Justice, Professor Keith Haley.
Well, thank you so much, Audrey. You did it again. We're on. What show number is this? 178, something like that. November of 2006, I believe we got this rolling, maybe even October. But here we are again, and tonight's going to be sort of a special night. If you like music, we're going to be hearing from Johnny Cash again as he sings from San Quentin Prison, a recording of one of his performances there. And if you know a little bit about Johnny Cash's background, you know he did some prison time. So he knows a little bit about what he sings. And you know, it makes me think today I saw a tractor-trailer truck. It was the longest tractor-trailer truck I've ever seen. I mean, the cab and the bed together. I mean, this truck must have been a block long. I have no idea how this gentleman could drive that vehicle, and I suppose it's legal. It wouldn't be on the road, but I've seen double trailers that long. But I've never seen a single trailer this long, so maybe the thing was rubberized in the middle or something, but it didn't look like that. But anyway, we want to thank Johnny for getting us into the show one more time. And I'm your host, Keith Haley, and this is the Jumble Justice Radio Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. And Emily and Mike, thank you very much for joining us tonight, and thank you for fishing out these very special songs tonight. The theme of our show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is crime and justice songs, and we could go on forever about that. That could be a year's worth of shows, and I've purposely kind of organized these. I have a special interest sort of in country music, so there's a lot of those in there tonight, and maybe some other evening. In fact, we've done a show on gangster rap, which certainly is crime-related music, and remember when we did that show, Audrey, we had a couple of the major rap producers in the United States guests on the show. We might replay that one sometime, but the purpose of our show is what it always is. We like to get into some discussion about news, issues, events, and special developments in the always difficult and sometimes humorous practice of the field of criminal justice. I don't know how you survive in criminal justice in either corrections or law enforcement work, perhaps judiciary the same way, without a sense of humor, because some of the things that happen in those jobs are just incredible. But what we're doing is we dedicate the show to these energetic and tireless police and court and corrections and juvenile justice professionals who protect us throughout the United States and around the world. We have a juvenile justice story tonight that may replace some of the juvenile justice officials, but hold on. I don't think there's any imminent danger of that taking place. What we try to do is look inside the field of criminal justice and take a real close-up look at its the people that practice it, and most of the time tonight will be a little bit different. And I know Harold, the goldfish over here on the desk, he's all set to go. He loves country music, and he's got his toe-tapping, his fin-tapping shoes on right now, so we're just about set to go. You're listening on Blog Talk Radio, which is a leading-edge technology, of course, and one of the top 100 websites in the world. If you go straight to blogtalkradio.com, you see President Obama right in the middle of a bunch of other folks that you probably recognize at least some of those. And just think, the show started in 2006 with one show with Alan Levy. He's the genius behind the medium, the CEO, and he had a little talk show set up. He was a telecom executive on the internet, so members of his friends could talk about a passing in their family. But what's possible? You, any other person, any interest group, any organization, and have their own show broadcasting live and streaming audio over the internet worldwide to an unlimited number of listeners. And the cost is what, Mike? That's it. Zero. It doesn't cost a thing. Can you believe it? People used to pay thousands of dollars a day to broadcast on the radio, or more than that. And here you can broadcast worldwide for absolutely nothing. These shows are archived immediately after the show's over. So if people want to replay them, we know that every now and then somebody replays our show for classes in criminal justice or criminology in various parts across the United States. So as I'm fond of saying, get your own show. If you don't like this one, it's up to you. Tonight what we're going to do is look at songs of crime and justice. And there are lots of them. Some of them you're going to recognize right off. I have some favorites that I'm probably going to force on you, Johnny Cash, of course, always doing the opening of our show. He's one of my favorites, so I think we could probably get through a couple bars of Folsom Prison Blues, couldn't we, Mike? Mike likes it, too, so we'll play it whether you, Audrey and Emily, like it or not. You're listening on the computer. You can call in during the news segment of the show. We're going to do some news tonight, as we always do. And that call-in number is 347-996-5983, 347-996-5983, and you're welcome to comment on these news stories or bring us a news story, should you like to do that. keep in mind, all these shows can be played back, so we'll do that. Well, we always have a blonde joke, and if someone should happen to be listening for the first time, we need to explain that Audrey England, the chief technical and spiritual advisor for this show, who introduced our show tonight, is a blonde, and she's been a collector of blonde jokes since a small child, and she has one for us tonight. As we do every week, we have a blonde joke. So, Audrey, what do you got for us tonight? Well, this is the one about passwords, I remember. Okay, good.
Professor Haley, the blonde joke for tonight won't take much time, but it is a funny one, for sure. Here it is. During a recent password audit, it was found that the blonde was using the following password: Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, Pee, Louie, Dewey, Donald, Goofy, Sacramento. When asked why she had such a long password, she said she was told that it had to be at least 8 characters long and include at least one capital.
All right, 8 characters and one capital. She did it. She knew Sacramento was the capital. That's very good. All right. As we always do, we like to get serious after these jokes, and we'd like to play the Ohio Coalition Against Firearms public service announcement directed toward the criminals on the streets of Ohio and throughout the land, if they're listening. And the message here is for them to lay down their guns. When they hear this message, I'd like to know how many have done that since we've been playing this, 177 times, once every week. And I imagine that somewhere along the line we've been responsible for a major crime reduction in the United States. But here's the coalition's message one more time.
Carrying concealed handguns in Ohio? It's a deadly idea. A message from the Ohio Coalition Against Gun Violence.
Well, thank you very much, Ohio Coalition. And again, we hope and pray that that message will be fall in the right ears, and they will, in fact, lay down their guns and turn away from their life of crime. What we like to do, a green tip, ladies and gentlemen. It's getting warm, and I suppose if you look out, you can see more and more evidence of global warming. You don't see any snow, and I imagine the ice caps right now around the world are melting at a rapid pace. So we're very interested in doing that. We like to feature, as part of our book talk, Esma Floyd's book, 1001 Little Ways to Save the Planet. And she has one tonight that I never thought of, but actually I have never thought of many of them. But here's what she says tonight. This is something you can do in your bedroom. Hey, this is straight up now. It says find a futon. This is tip number 300. Instead of investing in a cheap, mass-produced bed for your spare room, buy a Japanese futon with a cotton mattress and untreated base. I think there's a message in there, cotton mattress and untreated base. It is a much better environmental choice, it is, and won't set you back financially either. It can double up as a daytime seating also. Now, let me attest to the fact that futon, it's a strange word, a futon can be a dangerous device. Having a case mix slept on a futon and in the middle of the night being flipped out of the bed by getting too far over on one edge, I mean literally turned over like a pancake in a skillet, a futon can be dangerous. So beware, and you liability lawyers, don't sue us if people go out and buy a futon. I mean, you know, the word's funny, futon. Futon's a funny word. It's actually, can't that be used for like anything? You know, like when you can't remember something, people use maybe like futon. But anyway, enjoy your futon if you choose to do that. And we've used many Esma Floyd's tips. And the book I'd highly recommend, it's really fun little reading. No tip takes you longer than about 15 seconds, so it's really kind of interesting. Well, let's take a look at some criminal justice news. There's certainly some interesting things going on in the world, and let's take a look at this first story. And we've had hints of this before. Oops, I think I just did something wrong. Hold on just a second. What did I do? Let's see. Well, let's go back. Hold on. Mike, what did I do? Let's see what happened. Okay, we're okay, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. Here we go again. What happened here is Arizona, folks, has finally got that bill resolved on making it illegal for an illegal immigrant to be in the state of Arizona, actually be trespassing in the state of Arizona. Arizona's done it. While pressure increases on the Obama administration for a long-anticipated and much-promised overhaul of the nation's immigration laws, Arizona's moving ahead with an anti-illegal immigrant, legislation widely considered the most stringent in the state. Yeah, it will be. It would hand the police in the state broad power under state law to check the legal status of people they reasonably suspect. You need reasonable suspicion. I don't know if folks know where that is, but if you're going from like left to right on a proof continuum, you'd have a hunch, you'd have a suspicion and reasonable suspicion, then probable cause, which you need for arrest, and then halfway up is like preponderance, which you'd need for a judgment in a civil court. And then clear and convincing and proof beyond a reasonable doubt, which is what you would need for a conviction in a criminal court. And then virtual certainty is sort of another one, and then absolute proof. But anyway, it's not very high up the line. And
The Arizona House of Representatives approved this on Tuesday. It's headed back to the Senate, and I heard tonight, I think, that they've resolved it, and the bill should hit Governor Jan Brewer's desk, a Republican, facing an election challenge from conservatives. Although she's not stated her position, people on both sides of the bill expect her to sign it. So what's happening here, of course, is they're trying to do something about the massive swamp over of illegal immigrants in the state of Arizona. I've been there. I've seen it. It expressly forbids cities from adopting sanctuary policies that restrict the police and public workers from immigration enforcement. And did you happen to see that the government pulled a big raid today in places all over the United States? And last week we had Mr. Morton on the show, the Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security in charge of ICE. And he was commenting on it tonight on the evening news about the raids where they went out and rounded up the illegal. I wonder if Arizona moving forward on this had anything to do with it. One of the things that was highly debated in this is whether or not the people who would offer them sanctuary, like religious groups, churches, et cetera, could also be charged under this bill. But I think they sort of parked that. That was part of the compromise. But I think one of the parts in this story is really a hoot. It says that the local cops, the federal government worries, well, the local cops, they won't have the training to be able to recognize illegal immigrants. Can you believe that? Ladies and gentlemen, local cops that have worked a beat for 5, 6, 10, 15 years, they're able to recognize anything. They know what time the leaves fall out of the trees in the autumn. So I find that amazing that they would mention something like this. But this is Arizona. They've stepped forward like no other state in the union. And the Department of Homeland Security, I don't know if they're really pleased about that, but they're threatening to get tough on some of these policies. It looks like Arizona's leaked out ahead of them. Do you care about this next one? I suppose you should. But in Alabama, prisoners infected with HIV, they have to wear white armbands, and they live in special units within the prison. In South Carolina, the infected men wear blue dots on their badges. They're housed in a maximum security prison. Female prisoners carry the name of the HIV/AIDS norm on their uniform. These two states are the last to segregate and put blanket restrictions on HIV-positive inmates. Now, why would they do that? Because there's so much sexual activity that goes on in prison, and they don't want to pass this on. Rights groups, whatever that means, without further description, calls for a change. They say the policies violate federal and international guidelines. Infected prisoners' chances of early release and help in reentering society are harmed. But it also protects people inside the prison from, getting infected with the HIV virus. So that's kind of an interesting idea. Here's a nice story about professional burglars. And I don't know if you know that, burglars, the good ones get caught very rarely, 3 or 4 times every 200 times. Imagine coming home and find your underwear drawer ransacked by a stranger. And all your jewelry taken and everything that's valuable in your house. Well, apparently this group has been doing a real good job. They've hit 22 houses in New Rochelle alone in New York. And my gosh, they're really cleaning up. The detective Isabella Rourke, she has a growing collection of evidence from the spree, including pictures of windows forced open and crowbars, bedroom closets ransacked, and dresser search for valuables in the targeted neighborhoods where the homes start at $600,000. If you're going to be a burglar, it probably beats, going to Section 8 housing. You might as well start with homes at where the living standard starts at $600,000 per house. But they've been real busy. So when they catch these people, you've got your occasional thieves, you got your conventional thieves, you got your professionals. These are probably certainly in the category of professionals. And are they willing to do every 7 or 8 years, a year or two in prison? Probably are. And they come back at it when they run out of money. And that's kind of what the profile of these types reveal. So it's kind of interesting that these burglars are out there doing their job. And the last thing they want to do is have any contact with anybody. So usually there's not much fear of showing up at home, and they're still there. They've done something different than that. I like this story. Google and Yahoo have gotten together. They don't do that a whole lot, but they're with an allegiance of privacy groups, and what they're trying to do is stop the United States Department of Justice from illegally reading email messages. And this is an article reported in CNET. In a brief filed Tuesday, the coalition says a search warrant signed by a judge is necessary for the FBI or other police agencies before they can read the contents of Yahoo mail messages, a position that puts those companies directly at odds with the Obama administration. In other words, they're saying if your email is stored, that they should have the right to look at that. One of the comments here is that society expects and relies on the privacy of email messages. I think most people do. They would not think that somebody's out reading their email, but guess what? The federal government is. For its part, the Justice Department's taken a legalistic approach. 17-page brief it filed last month acknowledges that the federal law requires search warrants for messages in electronic storage that are less than 181 days old. But Assistant U.S. Attorney Pagan Ryan writes in a government brief, Yahoo mail messages don't meet that definition. In other words, if it's beyond that that length of time, then they're saying it's okay to look at that. So I don't know. Is that, would that make a difference with, you know, hard mail? I mean, snail mail? If my letter's, you know, 2 months old or 3 months old, should the federal government have a right to go in and look at that, or any police agency? I would not think so. I think that would require a search warrant. But anyway, it's going to see what interesting what happens on that. How do you like this idea? You know, software, we have it reading people's behavior and all sorts of things. So now we've got the Florida State Department of Juvenile Justice saying it will use predictive analytics software made by IBM to foretell which of its juvenile offenders are likely to return to crime. The software made by the SPSS division that Big Blue purchased last year will replace Excel spreadsheets analyzed by employees. So the employees won't have to do this themselves. They'll run it through on each individual offender, and they'll come back with some type of predictive number, I suppose, or set of numbers that will tell them whether the juvenile offender is likely to reoffend. Now, I've taught one of the earliest juvenile justice courses in the United States all the way back in the early 1970s. In those days, they were called youth on the law at first. But, you know, one of the things you find out is that the younger somebody makes contact with the juvenile court, the more likely they are to be an adult criminal. So that's why a lot of the flow in the juvenile court is backwards. They don't want them in the court, so they try to divert to social agencies, to youth service bureaus. That was a big rage in the 1970s. We won't send you to juvenile court, we'll send you to youth service bureau. And all that kind of didn't make much sense. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see how well this software actually works. So here's a terrible story. This is out of Columbus, Ohio. A Coshocton man pleaded guilty yesterday to murdering his girlfriend's 2-year-old daughter by beating her to death. Aaron Holdsworth, 28, was sentenced to 15 years to life in prison by the Coshocton County Common Pleas Judge Richard Evans. He was arrested after police were called to Coshocton County Memorial Hospital on June 2nd on a report of a possible shaken baby. Everybody knows about that strange behavior. But medical personnel who performed emergency surgery in Akron told the police that Rhina had been strangled and suffered blunt force trauma, according to an affidavit. So this guy, we hope, is going to do some time. And the picture of the little girl in the article, just a sweet little thing, and lost her life at the hands of this character. Here's one I thought is really funny. You know how communities sometimes sort of try to price people out, and, you know, if they make the houses expensive enough, whether purposely or just as a matter of fact, it will keep the so-called riffraff out. Here's a guy in Bolinas, California. He'd like to build a house for his family there. And this is a bucolic little town that's just 25 miles north of San Francisco. but he can't hook up to the water main that runs past his property unless he has a water meter. And a water meter in Bolinas, California, are you sitting down? A water meter in Bolinas costs $300,000. I didn't say 30. You didn't say 300. I said $300,000. That is the minimum bid for a meter being auctioned off through Friday. The auction is the unlikely result of a water meter moratorium imposed by anti-development forces here in 1971. So you have to go get a meter that's used, and the going price now at auction is $300,000 to get your property hooked up to water. For most of the last 39 years, the only way a water meter came free was when a house burnt down or it fell off of a cliff, says Barbara Rottweil, a longtime Bolinas resident. The meter moratorium has survived, even through protracted litigation with the support of residents who like this isolated town the way it is. So, you know, we're not saying you can't buy a house here, no matter who you are, but you're going to need a water meter, and the $300,000 price is certainly not discriminatory. Anybody with $300,000 or more can get themselves a meter. When a meter was auctioned in 2005, a stonemason paid $310,000 for his. This meter could bring far more now. And, you know, you might even have people, if it's that attractive a community, they might be deciding to move and, sell their water meter. But isn't that a hoot? Who would ever believe that something would go on like that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our news segment for tonight. So let's go ahead and start taking a look at what we want to do tonight. We're going to take a look at some songs of crime and justice. And what better song? We're going to have to move things around a little bit here tonight. We're going to use a lot of things off of YouTube, so bear with us. But what song would be better if you wanted to go back in history to hear a song about Billy the Kid and sung by the well-known country and Western singer Marty Robbins? So listen to the lyrics of Billy the Kid. They're fascinating.
I'm not satisfied. This is what he
There is a song coming. Mike, what's the deal?
I have seen you to storm a billion. I have seen us some desperate deeds to be done. Way out in New Mexico, long, long ago, when a man's only chance was his own 44. When Billy the Kid was a very young lad, in old Silver Sea, he went to the band. Way out in the west with a gun in his hand, at the age of 12 years he did kill his first man. There's Mexican maidens play guitars and sing songs about Billy, their boy band the king. Every young manhood has reached its sad end, with a notch on his pistol for 21 men. Was on it that night when poor Billy died, he said to his friend, I'm not satisfied. There's 21 men I have put bullets through. Sheriff Pat Garrett must make 22. I'll sing you how Billy the Kid set his face. The bright moon was shining, the hour was late. Shot down by Pat Garrett, who once was his friend. The young outlaw's life is now come to an end. There's many a man with a face but a pen, who start out in life with a chance to be square. Just like poor Billy, they wander astray. They'll lose their life in the very same way.
Well, thank you very much, Marty, and certainly the words of that are memorable, and everybody knows stories about Billy Kid probably from their childhood. This next one is interesting, absolutely one of my favorites, because it has Junior Brown playing a Git Steel guitar. That's an electric guitar, steel guitar, and a regular electric guitar all in one system, one on top of the other. And Junior Brown is going to do for us now the song called What? Highway Patrol.
I'm the highway patrol. Hey, you know me when you see me, 'cause my door's painted white. My siren is screaming in my flashing red lights. I work all day and I work all night, just keeping law and order, trying to do what's right. If I write you out of tickets, then you better drive slow. I'm just doing my job. I'm the highway patrol. The highway patrol, the hours are long, my pay is low, but I'll do my best to keep you driving slow. I'm just doing my job, I'm the highway patrol.
Shouldn't you do? You can bet your boots I'm coming after you. If you want
cold, just doing my job on the highway patrol.
Yes, excellent, and I suppose highway patrol officers all over the United States probably thoroughly enjoy that one. And if you haven't ever seen Junior Brown play that Gitsteel guitar, go ahead and check him out on YouTube. And as you can tell from the sound, his hands are very, very busy. And he just appeared up here in Michigan not too long ago. I heard on the radio, and must be a good show to see him play. Next, I think we're going to go back to Johnny Cash. And let's see what Johnny's got to offer for us. And I'll bet you wouldn't know that Johnny Cash did some prison time. Does anybody know that? Yes, he actually did some time in San Quentin and got his life all straightened out. And we're going to hear him play something for us here that was a live performance when he went back to San Quentin. There's a great line in the movie Injustice for All where the judge is talking to Al Pacino, the defense attorney. He says something on the order to heck with these criminals. He says, you know, in this rehabilitation stuff, whoever thought that Johnny Cash singing railroad songs to prisoners would do anything to rehabilitate them? But this is one of his best songs. So here we go. Johnny Cash at San Quentin. I don't know if I could this one. This is Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash singing in San Quentin. Let's go ahead and rip one of those off. What do you say, Mike? You know that one, Jack.
Well, I believe.
John and June, and that was a very special one. I wish you could have seen the prisoners' faces as they watched that song performed by Johnny Cash and June Carter. And it was at San Quentin, and the air conditioning wasn't on because those two performers were, if you watch this on YouTube, they were literally dripping in sweat. Well, let's take a look at another entertainer that was very popular in country music. It still is. And that's Merle Haggard. And he actually did some time, and guess what? San Quentin Prison, the same place. And Johnny and Merle have actually performed there together themselves. So let's take a look at Merle Haggard and one of his crime songs. Let's see if we can find it here on the filling somewhere. Yes, there we are. I'm a Lonesome Fugitive. Ever hear of that one?
Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I raised a lot of cane back in my younger days. While Mama used to pray my crop would fail. Now I'm a hunted fugitive with just two ways. Outrun the law or spend my life in jail. I'd like to settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I'm lonely, but I can't afford the luxury of having one I love to come along. She'd only slow me down, and they'd catch up with me. For he who travels fast goes alone. I'd like to settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
Well, thank you very much, Merle Haggard. And, of course, Merle's one of his very early famous songs was Okie from Muskogee. And I believe he is from Muskogee, Oklahoma. Very pleasant little town, as the whole state is. One of the best-kept secrets in the United States is the state of Oklahoma. If you've not been there, I recommend stopping by. Some of the nicest people you'll ever meet anywhere. Well, we're going to make this next performer a mystery guest, and he doesn't get much play, but let's see if people can identify this one and this entertainer as he sings a crime song.
We always had a lot of fun with it. We'll have fun.
Around that remember the choreography for that particular number, but it's fascinating. It's two rows of cells, and with the guards and inmates, and Elvis really gives it his all as he dances around the set, and they end up in the cafeteria and turning over the seats and all sorts of things. It's a fascinating one.
We're going to do something a little different now. We're going to take you across the world. And what would it sound like to listen to a Russian prison song? Let's just hear a little bit of that. You won't understand the language, but let's see what it sounds like. This is Mikhail Smirnov. Jumping little number. I cut that short, but I should have researched it ahead of time. What is the name? Anybody know here the name of that big instrument? Looks like a super-sized triangle. It's about half the size of a man or a woman. It's some type of guitar, but what a thing to see. Just type in Russian prison song on YouTube and you'll get that story. Well, here's one we'd really be remiss if we didn't play this particular crime song, because it's recorded in history, and let's see if you can recognize this one.
Frankie and Johnny were lovers. Oh Lord, how they did love! Born to be true to each other, just as true as the stars up above. He was a man; he wouldn't do her wrong. Frankie went down to the corner just for a bucket of beer. He said, "Mr. Bartender, has my loving Johnny been here? He is my man. He wouldn't do me wrong. Don't want to cause you no trouble. Don't want to tell you no lies. But I saw your lover half an hour ago with a girl named Nellie the Blind. He is your man, but he's doing you wrong." Frankie looked over the transom, there to the great surprise. There on the couch sat Johnny, making love to Nellie Bly. He was a man, he was doing her wrong. Frankie threw back her kimono, took out a little 44. Rudy Tutu, three times she shot right through that hardwood door. She shot her man, cause she done her wrong. Roll me over easy, roll me over slow. Roll me over on the left side, cause your bullet hurt me so. I was your man, and I've done you wrong. Bring out your rubber tied hurt. Bring out your rubber tied hat. I'm taking my man to the graveyard and ain't gonna bring him back. He was my man, and he's done me wrong. Bring round the round of golden, bring them round today. The lucky in that dungeon cell, and Lord, if he go away, I shot my man, cause he's done me wrong. And he said to the warden, what are they going to do? The warden, he said to fight his electric chair for you. You shot your man, so he's done you wrong. Sheriff came round in the morning, said it was all for the best. He said her lover, Johnny, was nothing but a doggone pet. He was a man, but he'd done her wrong. His story has no moral, his story has no end. His story only goes to show that there ain't no good in men. He was a man, and he'd done her wrong.
That is Frank Crummett, and that recording was done way back in 1927, if you can believe that. Very interesting. I want to play one more here for you. Certainly one of my favorites, and Willie Nelson has a number of songs that would fit into the category of crime and justice songs, but let's take a listen to this one. I think you'll recognize it, and it is called Pancho and Lefty. If I can find it. Oh, there we are. It's with Merle Haggard.
Living on the road, my friend, gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, your breath is hard as kerosene. Work your mama's only boy, her favorite one, it seems. Began to cry when you back into your dream. Pancho was a bandit boy, horseback and on all his feet. He wore his gun outside his hand, for all the honest world sees. Pancho met his match, you know, the desert down in Mexico. Nobody heard his dying words. All of that way. All the better on his face. They could have had him any day. They only let him slip away. Out of time's eyes.
That's a fascinating song, and people love it. And good, it's a very good video that goes along with it. Merle Haggard appears in that also. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's our Crime and Justice Song Show for tonight. And we could go on a month or two, a month or two with these. We probably won't. Maybe a second time. I'm not sure. But thank you very much for joining us tonight. And we're going to sign off here with Vera Lynn. And she reminds us that we'll meet again.
Meet again. Don't know when, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Like you always do, till the blue skies drive the dark clouds far away. So will you please say hello to the folks that I know? Tell them I won't be long. They'll be happy to know that as you saw me go, I was singing this.